All right, well, we're going to get into our message today. All right, y'all ready for God's word this morning? All right. Well, before we get really into the word, I just got a little thing I want to share with you. You know, when I was a kid, I just loved vending machines for some odd reason. And how many, anybody in here like vending? You're weird like me. You liked vending machines, you know? Man, I mean, there was just something about it when you're a kid and you walk up to this vending machine, you got 35 cents in your pocket, you know, because back in the day, 35 cents went a long way. You know, I mean, I feel sorry for you kids today. Y'all got to carry $100 bills in there, you know, just to go to the machine, you know. Man, we had a quarter and a dime and we were in good shape. You know what I'm saying? But I remember, man, I would go and I would stare into that machine and I would start looking at all my options. Man, you know, what am I going to have today? And I would strategize which is going to be the best choice for me today. And so once I had my selection, you know, I remember I would reach in there and I'd grab out that quarter and that dime and I'd put it in that slot. And just the sound of it falling, ching, ching, you know, it would just be cool. And then you'd make that selection, you'd hit your button, and then the little spiral thing, you remember, how many of you remember the little spirals, you know? Little spiral would start spinning and your prize would start moving forward to you, and all of a sudden it'd drop down in the drawer where you could get it, you know? And man, that was awesome. I just loved vending machines. I remember one vending machine, though. It was a little bit different than this. My favorite one was when my mom and dad would take us to West Virginia to see my grandparents. And they had one of them old Coke boxes. And you'd put your money in it, and then you'd have to move it down the aisle and back around and get it all the way to the end. And it was like trying to find the end so you could get your Coke. It was kind of fun. But these kind of vending machines were probably my, you know, the one that you run into most of the time. And it was good back in the day. I really did. I enjoyed that. It was such a fun thing until this happened. Has this ever happened to you? You reach in, you put the selection, and you put your quarter in, your dime in, you hit the button, and the spiral starts spinning, and then it comes to a stop. Anybody with me? I mean, that's the worst feeling in the world, right? You know, you start thinking, oh my goodness, you know what? What do you do? You start shaking the machine. Maybe you kick it a little bit and get a broke toe. Never mind. She didn't kick a machine. See, she broke her toe this week. So anyways, you know, you would shake it. You'd start rattling it. Maybe you went and told somebody, man, that thing ripped me off. I got gypped. I feel terrible, man. I had 35 cents. Now you robbed me, you know, and you just feel really put out. But the problem is that many of us today treat God like he's a vending machine, don't we? We put in not our 35 cents, but we put in our good behavior. We put in our church attendance. We put in our Bible reading. We put in our tithes and offering. And then we press the little prayer button, and we expect God to give us exactly what we ordered. I mean, after all, I mean, we're serving God, right? So surely my loved one should be healed. And I go to church at least 3 times a month, so surely I should pass that test that I didn't study for. Or I got a 21-day streak on my Bible app. Surely God's going to give me the job that I'm not qualified for. But what we have to do is we have to understand this morning that God isn't a vending machine and our faith isn't a contract. And we may or may not recognize it, but sometimes I think without even knowing it, we tend to think that if I do my part, then God has to do his part. Don't lose me now, okay? And without knowing it, what that does is that turns our faith in God into a transaction with God. And if God doesn't do what we want him to do, or give us what we want him to give us, or answer our prayer in the way that we think that he should, then all of a sudden we feel frustrated. We might even feel hurt, and maybe even betrayed by God. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to expose what I believe is one of the most dangerous lies that keeps so many people and so many of us from having a real faith. I mean, a real faith. Because unfortunately, we can fall victim to a false faith that I call a transactional faith, okay? And what is a transactional faith? And I think we tend to believe that God owes us. If I do my part, then God has to do his part. And this is, unfortunately, this is a lie that distorts our understanding of our faith, okay? And I would imagine that this is one lie that might cause as many, if not more, people to walk away from God, to walk away from the church, as any other lie that we're going to hear in our lifetime. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to show you from God's Word, that true faith is relational and not transactional, okay? True faith is about knowing God and loving God for who he is and not just for what he does, okay? Let's pray real quick. Father, I come to you today in the name of Jesus, and Lord, I pray that you would do a healing work in those that need it this morning. Father, I pray that your word this morning would draw us into a deeper relationship with you. And by the time we leave, God, I pray that we're more like you than we were when we came in the doors this morning. Father, I pray that you just bless this word. I pray for your anointing from the Holy Spirit this morning. May I say everything you want me to say, and may I keep my mouth shut on the things you don't want me to. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we've been in this message series that I've been calling Christiany, okay? And if you haven't been here over the previous weeks, what does it mean to be Christiany? I have the definition here again. Having a half-hearted faith, wearing the label of Christian without truly following Jesus, okay? And those of us that slip into this Christiany mindset, and I said us, right? Those of us that slip into this Christiany mindset, we often tend to embrace a false faith, and I'm going to call it a transactional faith, okay? So I want to give you the definition of transactional faith this morning. Transactional faith is this. Transactional faith is a distorted belief that turns our relationship with God into a contract, believing that if we do our part, God is obligated to do his. All right, so that is the definition. So if any of you find yourself thinking, God didn't do what I was supposed to do, what I felt he was supposed to do, what I wanted him to do, I mean, you're thinking to yourself this morning, man, I prayed, I read the Bible, I fasted, I stood on Scripture, and I did everything I knew to do, and God didn't hold up to his end of the deal. If you ever feel that way, I want you to know something. You're not alone. You're not alone. There's many of us, including myself, that feels that way at times. And it brings me comfort to know that there were several people in the Bible, if you will, that fell victim to this sort of thinking. It's not just you and me that fell victim. There's men and women in the Bible. And I want to give you five examples of that right now, okay? We're going to kind of move a little fast on these. But the first one we're going to see in Exodus chapter 16, verse 3, when the Israelites, they followed God, believing that he was going to bless them in a massive way. And then they said, God, we trusted you. Why are we struggling so much? God, you didn't do what we wanted you to do or what we thought you were going to do. Okay, so there's the Israelites. And we see the same thing with Jonah. When you look in Jonah chapter 4, Jonah was like this. He said in chapter 4, he says, let's go to Jonah real quick. There we are. He says, Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 and 3, he says, I obeyed you. Or we all know the story where he kind of sort of obeyed him, right? and so he says, so why did you bless them? Why did you bless those evil people? When I'm the one that was serving you, I was the one. Why are you blessing them and not me? We see the same thing when we look at Martha. Whenever her brother Lazarus died, she says this. She says, Lord, if you had been here by brother, if you had been here, my. Okay, there's a typo there. I was like, I'm reading wrong or I'm hallucinating this morning. If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. You see, she's saying, we served you. My brother served you. You were our friend. Why did you let this happen, God? this isn't what you were supposed to allow into our life. That's basically what Martha's saying. We can see it with the prodigal son. You remember the story where the younger brother, he in the story, he goes out and he says, "Father, I want my inheritance and I want it now." And he takes it and he squanders it and he parties so hard that he ends up, he has no money left. And so he goes back home and the dad sees him and he gets all excited and he says, "Hey, you know what? We're going to throw a big party. Throw a big party. Kill the fatted calf. Put a robe on him. Put his ring back on him. And we're gonna throw a big party." And he says, "I'm so glad that you're home." He says, "I did everything right. Where's my party?" is what the older brother says. The older brother's looking at this and he's like, "I'm glad he's home, but man, I've been here, Dad. I've been serving you. I didn't get no party." So if we can see it there. And how about we see it in the rich young ruler who says to Jesus, he says, "I kept the rules. Why isn't that enough?" We see that in Matthew 19. What he's saying is, he said, "We had a deal. I made an agreement with you, God, and you didn't hold up to your part." That's basically what he's saying. And I would suggest that, and this is just an observation from talking to people that I've counseled with and talked to over the years, I would suggest that most of us, we think that the more we seek God, the more that we serve God, the more we are faithful to Him, the more we obey Him, I think that most of us, without even realizing it or knowing it, that we tend to expect a little preferential treatment. Like, "There's all those other people, God. They're not serving you the way I am. You know, so if I'm praying, God, you should answer my prayer. You should be there to answer, not the person that skipped church the last 2 weeks. Why are you answering their prayer? I'm seeing you answer their prayer, but you're not answering mine. I've been here, God." And so it's really subtle, because the problem is that it feels like an actual faith, but it's really a dangerous lie, because we start to believe that, and then if we serve God faithfully, that He owes us something. We start believing that way. That's a bad faith for us to have. And the way it comes out a lot of times, it comes out like this. It's like, "Okay, God, I've been doing a lot for you here lately. I mean, I've been in the Word, I'm studying, I'm serving in the little angels back there, and God, you know we need blessings for the little angels workers, you know? I've fasted, I've prayed, I mean, earlier in the year, I took time out, and I didn't eat, I pushed away from the table, and I studied your Word. God, I'm not only tithing, but I'm giving in the offering too. And I've been really faithful in my prayer life. God, I'm even sharing my faith at work. I'm keeping my eyes pure. I've been serving you." And then we say something like this: "God, I know I'm not perfect, but I know that with everything in me, I'm trying to honor you with everything that I do and say. So God, why didn't you answer my prayer?" Ever been there? I have. I've been there. And I think sometimes we start making our case to God. We start trying to plead with Him and make a case to Him because we didn't get what we wanted. It's kind of like going to the manager of the place where you push the money in the vending machine and it robbed you. You're like, I put all my money in. I didn't just put a quarter in. It came halfway, and we start making our case. Like, "God, I raised my kids in church, so why are they now walking away from it? I don't understand." Or, "God, I give faithfully in my tithes, so why am I still living paycheck to paycheck? Am I the only one that thinks this way at times? God, I've been serving you. I've been keeping my eyes pure. I'm living with sexual integrity. So why am I not getting married when all my wild friends are? God, you're not living up to the deal." That's basically what we're saying. God, you're just not living up to your end of the deal. And what we have to understand this morning is that true faith is not relational, or that it is relational, and it's not transactional. It's about knowing and loving God for who He is and not just for what He does. Let's say that together, okay? True faith is relational, not transactional. It's about knowing and loving God for who He is, not just for what He does. Man, I'm telling you, can I tell you that this week I want to challenge you to say a simple prayer, and I want you to pray it with me really quick, okay? It's just a short prayer. We're going to say it a couple times, so maybe you'll get it in your heart. And I believe that when we wake up and we have a moment where we realize that our faith can sometimes seem like it's a more of a contract than it is a relationship, that sometimes we need to start our day out with a prayer. Amen? And so I want us to say this prayer together, and you can keep your eyes open because it's biblical. Jesus said, watch and pray. So y'all keep your eyes open. Let's pray, all right? So let's say this. God, help me to know You and love You for who You are, not just for what You do. Let's say it again. God, help me to know You and love You for who You are and not just for what You do. All right. So I want to pause for just a minute, and I want to acknowledge that if you've been paying really close attention in this series, that this morning this message could seem a little contradictory, I guess. And so this morning I want to back up just a second here and make sure that we're on the right track, okay, that we understand this right, all right? Because in week two, if you remember, I talked about a covenantal nature of God, the covenantal nature of God. Do you remember when we talked about that? That we talked about a covenant, and every covenant, there's an unconditional promise and there's conditional blessings. You guys remember that? Yeah. Okay. So there's unconditional promise that God loves you no matter what. That's your unconditional promise. That He sent His Son Jesus. That's unconditional. He's already done it. There's no condition on it. He loves you so much, He sent His Son. But there are conditional blessings. And so you might be saying, well, wait a minute, if God loves us no matter what, and then we do the right thing and He blesses us, isn't that contractual? If we obey God and He blesses our obedience, isn't that contractual or maybe transactional? That might be what you're thinking this morning. But I want to show you, and I want to make sure we understand the difference here, okay? So it's actually, whenever God is this way, when He has this unconditional promise for us, but He has conditional blessings, this is actually a covenantal relationship that He's wanting to enter into us. And I want to explain that because this is really important. So who remembers what a covenant is? We talked about that in that message, okay? A covenant is a divine agreement between God and mankind, okay? God is making the agreement with us. And here's the deal. He initiates it. We don't initiate the deal. We don't come to Him and say, God, I'll do this if You'll do that. No, He's the one that negotiates the deal. He's the one that has what we need. So He makes the deal, and He comes to us, and He makes the agreement. And God makes a covenant with us. And so what's the difference between a covenant and a contract? I want to explain that really quick so that we don't get mixed up, okay? And so I'm going to show you the difference. A contract is transactional. Okay? It's temporary and it's enforceable by law, right? But a covenant, on the other hand, is a lot different. It's not transactional, it's not temporary and enforceable. But a covenant is relational, eternal, and it's sustained by love. All right? And that's a big difference when you look at these two things. And when you think about it, a contract is really based on trying to protect ourselves, if you will, all right? It's almost based on mutual distrust, if you will. Like, I don't know you and you don't know me, so we're going to make a contract so that you have to do your part and I have to do my part, right? That's what a contract is. And so that's kind of like what you do when you rent a house, okay? When you go to the house, you meet a landlord, and he's looking at some potential new renter, and that might be you, and he doesn't know you, and you don't know him. And so what he does is he takes and he has you fill out an application so he can check you out, right? He wants to check you out. And then if he likes what he sees, then he draws up a contract. Why? Because it's a temporary and it's transactional and it's enforceable by law. And the landlord has to since it's enforceable by law, the landlord has to hold up to his agreement too, right? He has to hold up to it, and he has to provide you with a nice, clean home, things that work, not broken all the time. You have to hold up to your end. You have to pay the deposit. There's no pets sometimes, whatever it may be, and then you have to pay on time. And you don't know each other, and so you enter into this contract. So that's what a contract is. A contract is transactional, not relational. But if the landlord, let's think about it this way, but if the landlord had this friend, and his friend fell on really hard times, and he thinks to himself, you know what? Man, I got this house, and it's vacant. I'm just going to let him stay there. So he goes to his friend, and he says, hey, you know what? Man, I love you, brother. Hey, why don't you just come and stay in my house, stay in this house. You don't have to pay me nothing. I'm even going to cover the bills. You can just stay here for free as long as you'd like. You see, that's not transactional, is it? That's relational. Are we getting it? Are we understanding here? And this is how God is with us. You see, God loves us with a relational, covenantal love, and it's not temporary. It's unconditional. And it's Him sending His Son, Jesus, to pay the price for our sinfulness. Amen? And the crazy thing about God is that in His covenantal relationship with you and I, it's not temporary, it's unconditional. Even if we don't live up to our end of the bargain, God will live up to His. Because the Scripture tells us in 2 Timothy 2:13, it says, if we are faithless, God remains faithful. Amen? He remains faithful, for He cannot disown Himself. You see, that's how good our God is. We serve a good God. Zach said it a while ago. Man, God is good, right? God is good. It's not contractual. It's relational and covenantal. That's how good our God is. And so we should love God not just for what He does, but for who He is. Amen? And I want to show you a very intimate glimpse into a relationship that David had with God. We all know that David was described as the man after God's own heart, right? Well, we can see a story, or we can see a scripture in Psalm 63 where when we look at it, here's what it's going to say. He's going to say, God, you are my God. But I want to tell you what he's not going to say first, all right? He's not going to say, earnestly, I seek your blessings. God, I earnestly seek your miracles. God, I earnestly seek your provision. No, that's not what he's going to say. When we look at this verse, what is he seeking? He's seeking God for who he is, right? So let's watch this in Psalm 63. He says, you, God, are my God. Earnestly, I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. On my bed, I remember you. I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Man, can I tell you, this is an intimate relationship between David and God. Very relational and intimate. I mean, I can tell you, I've got friends. Zach's my friend. But I'm telling you, I don't talk to Zach like this. I don't come to Zach and say, Zach, I earnestly seek you. I thirst for you, bro. My whole being longs for you. I'm going to tell you, I don't say that. And God is my witness, I never will. Okay? I love him. He's my friend. But I don't talk to him that way. But this relationship with God, it's not transactional. It's not contractual, but it's relational and it's intimate. And so how do we know if we have a transactional faith in God? How do we know if we're putting our expectations on him and getting disappointed because he doesn't do what we think he should do? I'm going to give you three questions. I'm going to ask you these three questions. We're going to take a look at them. So question number one, do I follow God because of what he does for me or because of who he is? You see, I see a lot of people, when he doesn't do what they want him to do, they just walk away and they say, God, I'm not following you anymore. You didn't do what I asked you to do. Question number two, do I still trust God when he doesn't answer my prayer the way I want, or do I feel betrayed? Do I still worship him and believe in his goodness when I've prayed and I've fasted and I've done everything I can think of, and he still didn't do what I thought he should do, and I get my feelings hurt and I feel betrayed by God. Question number three, do I serve God because I love him or because I'm hoping for something from him? I'm going to leave these questions up for just a moment. So if you will, leave those up. And I just want to read them again one more time and give you time to think of your answers on these questions, because I believe that these questions are going to help us have a relational faith by the time we walk out of here today. All right. Do I follow God because of what he does for me or because of who he is? Do I still trust God when he doesn't answer my prayer the way I want, or do I feel betrayed? Do I serve God because I love him or because I'm hoping for something from him? So, you might be thinking to yourself, why, Pastor Jack, are you preaching so much about being Christian-y? And the reason that I want to tell you this morning is because I need it. These messages are for me as much as anybody else. I'm just hoping they're for you. But I'm telling you, God is doing something in my heart. You see, sometimes I can be Christian-y. I just want to admit it. Even now, I know it's easy for us pastors sometimes to say, oh, back in the day, I was Christian-y a lot, but not today. I'm going to tell you, I'm that way now. On a good day, I love God very seriously and sincerely and genuinely. I want his glory. I want to know his ways. I want to walk with him. And on a good day, I love God and I serve him with everything in my being. But I got a lot of bad moments in my life sometimes, moments that aren't good. I'm just your pastor. I'm not anybody special, okay? I put my britches on just like you do, one leg at a time. Sometimes you put pastors on a pedestal, but I want you to know I walk through the same trash you walk through. I walk through the same problems that you do. And so this morning, I'm just being genuine and honest because I want God to do a work in my life. And I want him to do a work in yours. You see, I want his glory. I want his will. I want to do it with no strings attached. And that's in a good moment. But when I'm in a bad moment, a weak moment, I'm going to tell you, I just want God to do what I want him to do. And I'm being honest because God knows my heart. You see, I want God to bless my kids. I want God to heal Shelly. I want him to make my life comfortable, if you will. You know, and here's where my mind goes on with this. And I think sometimes this is how my mind works. So welcome to my mind, okay? I hope you can hang on. You see, I do my very best. And I look at God sometimes and I say, God, I do everything I can. I work hard, God. I'm faithful. I keep my life pure. I do your work. I do your will. I preach as hard as I can. I study your word. I'm faithful in your word. And sometimes, God, just to be honest, it feels like you let me down sometimes. You know, I remember back before my stepdad passed away. He was a pastor. And still to this day, I don't know if I know anybody that had as much scripture memorized as my stepdad. I mean, he could quote chapter after chapter after chapter. When he got up to preach, he didn't do like I do and put it on the screen so he can turn and read it in case he forgets it. He would sit there and he would just quote it, memorized it. And then he got Alzheimer's. Out of all the diseases, it took his mind. It took his scripture. And I remember I was praying for him. And I thought, surely, If you're going to heal anybody, God, this is the guy. He has studied, he has dedicated his life. Surely, if you're going to heal somebody, it's going to be him. But he didn't. He didn't heal him. He gave him the ultimate healing. He took him home. Amen. And I thought to myself, after all that he did for you, God. And then there's moments where I think to myself, I pray so hard for Shelly. And she's still sick. She still tells me, I'm hurting so bad. I'm just being honest, okay? And there's been times where I've said, God, I know you can, and you haven't. I don't understand. Don't you think you could do this for us, God? You ever been there? If you find yourself in a similar place, I just want to encourage you to be honest with God. He knows your heart just like he knows mine. Go ahead and share it with him and tell him and say, God, why haven't you answered my prayer? God, why don't I have a better job? God, why haven't you fixed my marriage? Why is my life still so hard, God? I want to say this very clearly, very lovingly. If you're doing God's will just to get God's stuff, you're missing God's heart. I want to say that again, and I want it to sink into us this morning. If you're doing God's will just to get God's stuff, you're missing God's heart. You see, our God is not a vending machine. He's a king that we worship. He's the savior of our soul. He's our provider. He's our healer. He's our everything. Amen. Yes, give him some praise this morning because we serve an awesome God. And this is what Jesus said to us. He said to us in 6:33, he says this. He says, but seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will follow, will be given to you as well. You see, it doesn't say you seek first God. It says you seek God first. You don't seek what he can do for you. Amen? You seek him. You don't seek his blessings. You seek his face. You don't seek his hands. You seek his heart when you seek him first. Amen? Before anything else, before you seek the approval of other people, before you seek advice, we need to seek God. Seek God first. Before we seek the things of this world, you seek God. Before you seek money, you need to seek God. Before you seek your own comfort, we need to seek God, don't we? Before we seek our own will, we need to seek God. We need to seek him earnestly. And why is that? It's because true faith is relational, not transactional. It's about loving God for who he is and not just for what he does. Stand with me if you will. Would you come to the keys for me tomorrow? I'm going to pray with you this morning, and then I want us to pray together. Because I realize that, or I hope, well, no, I don't. I hope you're doing better than me. I was going to say, I hope that you're like me. I hope you're not like me. I hope that you got it all together and that your faith is relational. But I'm telling you, sometimes my faith can become transactional in a heartbeat. When something don't go my way, when God doesn't do what I think that he should do, when I think he should do it even, sometimes I get a little transactional instead of covenantal and relational. And so this morning, I just want to pray with you, and I want you to pray this morning. And if you're like me, and you let your faith slip from relational into transactional, and you don't want that to happen anymore. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, that's me. I do that. I want you I want you to just raise your hand right where you're at and say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me because I'm that way. It happens to me, whether I know it or not. I don't plan it sometimes, but sometimes it just slips up on me, and I think that I should have some preferential treatment, or that he should treat me better than I am because I'm doing what I can for him. If that's you, I just want to pray for you this morning. Listen, if you would, bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. I also realize that there's somebody here this morning that doesn't know Jesus. You haven't asked him to be your father this morning. And here it is on Father's Day. And you haven't asked him into your life to be your heavenly father. Man, what a great day it would be. I know that for me, I gave my heart to him 28 years ago on a Father's Day, just like this. And it meant so much, and it changed my life so much. And my prayer is, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, that you'll ask him in to be your heavenly father, just like I did 28 years ago, and let God transform your life each and every day from this day forward. Let's pray. Father God, I come to you this morning, and Lord, I'm just so thankful that you love us. And God, that we can come in and we can be as honest as I can be this morning. And Lord, you still love us. Lord, even when we're faithless, you are faithful. You care and you love us so much. And God, this morning, I want to just repent and I want to say, God, I'm sorry for the times that I've turned our relationship into a contract and I've thought that it was more of a transaction than it was a relationship. God, I'm sorry about that. God, I ask you to give me strength and to help me, Lord Jesus, to walk with you each and every day. And even on my weak moments, God, help me to know that you are still in control and that you still love me. And God, that no matter what I'm going through, Lord, that you are never going to leave me. You're never going to forsake me, but you'll walk with me, not around it, but through it, God. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you touch each and every one of us in this place today. God, whenever we look at our faith and we look at it today and we're asking ourselves some of these questions and maybe we found out today, oh, there's an area of my life that it's transactional and here's an area where I feel like I have a contract with God instead of a relationship with him. Father, I pray this morning that you would just show us that you have a covenant over us. God, that you're a covenantal God. And Lord, that you've made a covenant from between you and us. And Lord, you said that if we would believe on you and give our life to you, Lord, that you would give us life and life more abundantly, that you would wash away our sins. And so you sent your son Jesus to do that. And God, this morning, I pray if there's anyone in this house that has not received you as their Savior, that this morning, God, that they will make you their heavenly Father on Father's Day. That they'll ask you to come into their life and to transform them. And Lord, not make a contract with you, but Lord, to walk into your covenant and say, God, I receive your blessings. I receive this unconditional love that you have for me. I give you my life this morning, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins and make me new. And I ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. And everybody says, amen.